Morning, good. Today's daf in Erevin Chaf Aleph. We are in Chaf Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting at the last couple of lines. It starts with the words Amar Yisrael Bar Adam. Three lines from the bottom. We are in the second parak, and that means that we're dedicating ourselves to the topic of Pasei Beraos. That means to say that a Rishus Yachid can be created by simply putting the brackets in the corners, one Amma brackets in each of the corners, and you have it. You have a Rishus Yachid. So we've been discussing it now extensively for the last number of days since we started the parak. And here, we are going to start off this morning with a significant limitation in terms of the application of Pasei Beraos, and that is, under what circumstances can it be used? This is a makeshift wall, and it is fascinating how it operates as a Rishus Yachid. We already pointed this out at the beginning of the parak. We reviewed the point quickly yesterday, and that is the idea that it's mostly your space. The gaps between the brackets are significant. According to Rav Meir, 10 amos. According to Rav Yehuda, 13 and a third amos. Talking about significant holes within the wall. And yet it operates as a wall. It operates as an enclosure. And it is considered a Rishus Yachid. It operates on a Doraisa level. This point was also made very clear yesterday. You throw into such an area from a Rishus Rabim, one is going to be liable to Hotzah. You just transferred from a Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid Minat Torah. And one would be Chayv, a Karban Chatas. So this is an enclosure and it operates on a Doraisa level. But nevertheless, the Chachamim, even though recognizing that it is a Rishus Doraisa, but put significant limitations in terms of the application of when one could do this type of enclosure, and that's where we begin this morning. The only time that there's an allowance for putting together these makeshift enclosures using the brackets is only when you're doing the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Three times a year there's a mitzvah min haTorah to go up to Yerushalayim, to be seen in Yerushalayim, offer karbanos in Yerushalayim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos. And so, when one is performing the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, which obviously requires a significant trek, so while you're on your way to Yerushalayim and you're stopping over for Shabbos, so now you have the right to make these makeshift walls, but under all other circumstances, you can't make these walls. And the simple pshat, of course, is that you are significantly limited when you could do this, and there would be no other circumstance than one could put together these types of walls. Stay tuned. A little bit later this morning, we are going to see together that there may be some extension of this halacha, but right now, kipshut of the Gemara means to say that you can only do so for the purposes of Aliyah L'Regel. V'atayin, the Gemara says, okay, but what about the following braisa? Lo hutra pasei beraos ela l'gabei behema v'avad. Pasei beraos can only be created as an enclosure, only so that your animals can drink from the water. Now, the simple pshat over here in this braisa is that it can be done for your animals. It doesn't mention anything about Aliyah L'Regel, but the Gemara says, my behema ola regalim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we're just going to simply synthesize these two braises together. You put the two braises together. The conclusion is that, yes, it's only for Aliyah L'Regel. And on top of that, you can only use it for your animals. You yourself cannot drink from the water. Now, that sounds very strange, but it's a significantly limited heter. And the heter is only for Aliyah L'Regel and only for your animals as well. So the Gemara says, really interesting. Ava Adam, metafes v'ola, metafes v'yorid. What is a person expected to do? And really, a really interesting expectation, and that as far as the person is concerned, so he can go into the well. And literally, metafes va'ola, metafes v'yored, means that basically what you're going to do is you're going to scale the well. You're going to go basically hug the walls of the well and crawl in, get the water, and then come out. That's an interesting expectation. You need to have some. You need to be in good physical shape in order to do that. Admittedly, but the Gemara says, but for people, there's another way of getting the water without having to utilize the walls. And so, therefore, for a person, the requirement is the expectation is that they're not going to be using the pasei beraos. Even the Gemara says, well, consider the following. We are now on the top of Chafal Bamed Aleph. The Amar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So there's another limitation of this halacha pasei beraos, and that is that the water has to be fresh water. It has to be spring water. Ber mayim chayim. So the Gemara says now, that is water that's consumable by people. Now, and the Gemara points out, v'yila behema mali chayim mali mechunasin. Now, if the water is only meant for your animals, so it shouldn't really matter whether it's fresh spring water or it's any water, even if it's just collected water, which may not be appealing to you and I, but the water is not for you and I. The water is for the animals. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So the Gemara says, Binan midi dechazi la'adam. So the Gemara says, yes, we're sticking with. The heter of Pasei Beiros is only for Oli Regalim. The heter is only for the animals. It's not for you. As far as the requirement of the water is concerned, the quality of the water has to be drinkable by humans, but that's only to create the heter. Rashi over here writes, we're reading the Rashi inside. Mid the Chazil Adam, second line in Rashi. Came the Mayim, Mashve Luhu Mechitza, since the water is what is activating the heter. So therefore, Be'inan Mayim Chashuvim, so therefore you need significant water. In other words, we recognize that the Chachamim only allow this because of the water, so the water has to be of a certain quality. In other words, drinkable by humans, even though, in practice, the only ones who are going to be drinking the water are going to be the animals. But nevertheless, it's the water that's activating the heter, so therefore you need Mayim Chashuvim. That's the way Rashi describes why exactly it has to be drinkable by people. When all said and done, it's really interesting that the heter has now been significantly limited to who can use it, Ole Regalim, who can drink from it, only animals, and yet the quality of the water has to be significant enough where people could drink from it. You can see Tosus on the top of the Amud over here, where he does suggest there are certain circumstances where even people are allowed to drink this water, but principally the water is for the animal, not for people. See the top Tosus for a little more elaboration on the times when a person can actually drink the water. Gufa, the Gemara now, is going to quote the Braisa in full. Now, we've already seen pieces of the Braisa between what we just learned right now and between yesterday's daf. We've already seen pieces of the Braisa, but now we're going to see the entire Braisa quoted. Lo, hutra pasei beiros, ella behema bavad. The heter, pasei beiros, is only for the animals of Adam, but as far as a person is concerned, metapis vola, metapis v'yare. So he's expected to crawl in and out of the well. V'yemaya rechavim. Now, let's say the well is very wide. So that means to say that crawling in and out of the well would be easier, by the way, as if it were easy to begin with. But crawling in and out of the well would be easier if the well is narrow. So now you could basically get a foothold and lean your back into one side of the wall. It's just amazing back in the day, this was expected, this was considered something which, you know, everyone could do. And so if it's a narrow well, so then one could at least do it. However, let's say the well is really wide, and climbing in and out of the wall would be difficult. You have nothing to brace yourself against. So I feel adam nami. So under those circumstances, so then even the person can draw from the well and drink from the well on Shabbos using the bracketed walls. Already in the Gemara, you see that there is, under certain circumstances, allowance for people to drink from it. Tosfos gives other allowances as well. Anyway, v'yitin lefne behemto. Now, what you should not do is you shouldn't draw from the water from the well and put it in front of your animal. Meaning, hold the kli while your animal's drinking. But what you can do is you can pour it into the trough and have the animal drinking from the trough. And the animal will be drinking from the water, but you're not holding the kli. Okay, so this is the braisa that we've seen now in its entirety. So the metafiz vol, the metafiz viore, that we already saw in this morning's daf. The line of the last lines of the braisa of lo yimalei adam mayim v'yitin lefnei behemto and ava memalehu v'shofech lefnei behema v'shoseh me'alaha. So that's from yesterday's daf. The Gemara quoted that section of the braisa yesterday. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have a quick review of what we learned yesterday regarding those last lines of the braisa. Now, if you can't hold the kli when giving to your animal, so what good is pasei beiros? And the question the Gemara immediately reacts to, Mahuila, what do you mean, what good is it? Lamalos mehem. Without the pasei beiros, you can't draw the water from the well and bring it up to the surface. Meaning the only way you're allowed to do that is only through the pasei beiros, because otherwise the area immediately surrounding the well is the Rishus HaRabim, and you couldn't do that. That would be transferring from Rishus Yafet to Rishus HaRabim. So what do you mean, what good are the brackets? The brackets got the water out of the well. So Ella, the Gemara says, that part's true, but Mahul Rosh of Ruba Shalpara. But remember how we described how the head and the majority of the body of the animal has to be in the enclosure? That was one of the big discussions that we had yesterday. And so why? Meaning, if anyway, the water is not, you're not going to be holding the kli, and the kli is going to be in a trough, So then why does the head and the body of the animal have to be in the enclosure? Remember, the whole concern that we discussed extensively yesterday is that while you are watering your animal, so the animal is going to turn and twist its head out of the enclosure, and you're going to follow it, and you're going to be carrying the kli from the Rishus HaYachid into the Rishus HaRabim. But now the Gemara says, I don't understand. If you're not allowed to hold the kli, and you're putting it in the trough, so what's the concern? So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood those last lines of the Braisa, and the Gemara now reintroduces us to Abaye's explanation of the Braisa. We already saw Abaye's explanation twice yesterday in yesterday's daf, and now we get to see it a third time. That's called good chazara. Amar Abaye, hach b'maiskinan be'evos homi b'rishos harabim gavoros avarochav arba v'rosha nichnas lebein apasim v'chule v'chule. After having gone through Abaye's explanation two times yesterday, the Gemara just basically gives us Rashi Prakim. Like, you remember what Abaye said. So just as a quick review of what Abaye said from yesterday's daf, Abaye said that the case that the Braisa is dealing with is super specific. It's talking about a scenario in which you have the Bein HaPasim, you have the bracketed area that surrounds the well. Right next to it, or encroached into it, is you have a trough. The trough was very large. It was 10 tefachim high. The walls of the trough were 10 tefachim high, and it was an area 4x4, meaning the trough itself is an area of Rishus HaYachid. And the trough now finishes up right against the house where the animal is situated in. So you basically have now, it's like I explained yesterday, a Rishus HaYachid next to another Rishus HaYachid next to another Rishus HaYachid, and they're all contiguous one to another. And what you are supposed to do at this point in time in order for your animal to be able to drink the water is pour the water into the trough. You're in the bracketed area. You're pouring the water into the trough. The water then is going to flow down in the direction of the animal, and the animal is going to drink. That's what the Braisa is dealing with. That's the case of the Braisa. What you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to walk the kli over to the animal. Even if you're holding the kli over the area of the trough, meaning you're keeping the kli in the Rishus HaYachid, you're not allowed to walk the kli over. The concern is, as we discussed yesterday two times over, is that what you may end up doing is you may end up putting the kli down, not on the trough, but rather on the side, meaning in the Rishus HaRabim area, and then you're going to be transferring from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim. And then what you're going to, when you pick it up and you bring it back into the area of the trough, then you're going to be going from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. Okay, all this was discussed extensively yesterday. That's Abaye's understanding of the Braisa. The Braisa is not dealing with a simple classic scenario where you're watering your animal. Under those circumstances, you can hold the kli. Only in this scenario are you not allowed to hold the kli, but rather you have to pour it into the trough. Amar Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba Amar Rav. We are now continuing in the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to teach us more halachas and more limitations regarding the heter pasei beiros. Ein borgenim bebavel, there's no system or status of borgenim in Bavel. Bavel, of course, being the geographic location. What are borgenim? I will explain that in just a moment. Velo pasei beiros b'chutz aretz, and pasei beiros simply cannot apply in chutz aretz. So we have now significant limitations regarding the application of two halachic principles. Borgenim does not apply in Bavel. Pasei beiros do not apply in chutz aretz. So first, let's tackle borgenin. What is borgenin? So let's take a look at Rashi together. I'm going to read the Rashi inside. Amar b'ketzad ma'avrin. Rashi over here quotes from the fifth parak of Erevin. We are in the second. So it is, in Daf Yomi terminology, a little over a month away. So im hayu borgenin chutz le'ir besoch ein ama v'shirayim et avrim ima umodedim tchum ha'ir misham ulehalan. So in order to understand this, let's just quickly get a crash course in Tchum Shabbos. We've gone over this already a couple of times. We haven't really tackled Tchum yet formally. It's coming up later in the Masechta. The idea behind Tchum Shabbos is that a person is limited in terms of where he can walk. Not carry, but rather walk. A person can only go 2,000 amos from where he starts off his Shabbos. Now, that's true if, let's say, he's in a city, so the 2,000 amos do not start until the edge of the city. And then from there, going in every direction, north, east, west, south, a person cannot walk more than 2,000 amos beyond the city limits. However, there is an extension that can be made regarding Tchum Shabbos, and that is through this, through the principle of Borgenin. Borgenin, as Rashi is about to explain, are basically huts that are situated immediately outside the city. If these Borgenin are within some 70 amos of the city, more accurately, 70 and 2/3 amos outside the city, So what that does is that it creates an extension of the city limits so that the 2,000 amos are only started to be counted after the borgenin, not before the borgenin. And Rashi just simply points out, Omahin borgenin, sukkah sh'os and shomri ha'ir ve'inu davar kavua. So they're basically huts. They're not permanent, but nevertheless, as long as they have some utility, so they can operate as borgenin. And v'kam rav yirmiya, the hanach borgenin, ein bebavo, klamar, ein mit abrim ima ir de bebavo, ikabitka demai v'shat v'luhu hilkach lo chashiv emidei. And now what we're learning together is that although there is this halachic concept of borgenin, which do extend the tchum Shabbos, but not in Bavel. Why not? So the Gemara says it, but Rashi over here just simply clarifies, because in Bavel you have many flash floods, and it happens to be that the borgenin are going to get washed up all the time, washed away all the time, and just with a simple flash flood. So you can't really count on them as being the huts that are going to be there for any kind of duration, and so therefore they do not function halachically as a borgenin, and so therefore they do not extend the city limits. Your tchum starts immediately at city limit point, and not with this extension of borgenin. That is halacha number one. Halacha number two of Rav is that as far as the pasuk beiros, they do not apply in chutz la'aretz. Now, obviously, contrasting this with the previous statement, it means in chutz la'aretz outside of Bavel. In Bavel, one can use the pasuk beiros, but outside of Bavel, anywhere else in chutz la'aretz, you cannot use the pasuk beiros. This obviously needs an explanation, and the Gemara is about to give it. As we are continuing now in the Gemara, Borgenin Bebavel lo shchicha badkei. Borgenin Bebavel lo shchicha badkei. So as far as the Borgenin are concerned, I know we saw this in Rashi, but the Gemara now spells it out. And that is that you have these flash floods in Bavel, they're going to wash away the Borgenin, and so therefore they do not have a lachic status. Pasei beiros b'chutz la'aretz lo, de lo shchicha masnis misifta. Now, as far as Pasei Beiros not operating Chutz La'aretz, why not? Because you don't have yeshivas over there. Now, Rashi over here, really important Rashi. Rashi, lo shchicha misifta, you don't have yeshivas in Chutz La'aretz. Liyos tamidim hochim me'ir le'ir lumo Torah. So, what you don't have is students outside of Eretz Yisrael and outside of Bavel, you don't have the students traveling from one town to another in order to learn Torah. And Rashi says, as far as the Pasei Beiros is concerned, it is a dispensation that's given for people who are Ola L'Rego. And here we get to the critical part of Rashi. And anything similar to Aliyah L'Rego. When you're in Rata doing a mitzvah. So what Rashi's doing over here is he's taking what we learned at the beginning of Daf today, and he's basically saying that's just simply a model case. Meaning, when we say that the Pasei Beiros is a heter only for Olei Regalim, it means something which is a Dvar Mitzvah. And so what we're going to do is we're going to extend it to other Divrei Mitzvah, meaning that if I'm traveling because I'm heading to another yeshiva, so that is another Dvar Mitzvah, where one is allowed to employ the heter of Pasei Beiros. But in Chutz La'aretz, where there are no yeshivas, and so therefore no one's traveling to another location in order to learn Torah, so then you are not afforded the special heter Pasei Beiros in Bavel, where there are many yeshivas, and people are traveling all over to go from one yeshiva to another. So there, you are allowed to employ Pasei Beiros. With this Rashi now, it only begs the question. So are there other examples when one can use Pasei Beiros? Meaning right now we have Olei Regalim, now we have Hochei Lomo Torah. Are there other examples that are included? Is there something that makes Hochei Lomo Torah more similar to that of Aliyah L'Rego? It's not clear. Meaning, as far as how much we would extend this heter of a Pasei Beiros, so it's not clear. This is the only other application we're going to see together in the Gemara of taking the concept of Pasei Beiros and applying it to another area in Halacha, notably somebody who's traveling to learn Torah. Okay, back to our Gemara. Aval Ibcha Avdinan. But if it were the opposite, So then one would be allowed to do it, meaning that outside of Bavel, one could set up the borgenin because you don't have the flash floods outside of Bavel, and so therefore you're allowed to set up borgenin, and in Bavel one is allowed to employ the heter of Pasei Beiros because there are yeshivas in Bavel. Good. Iga d'Amri. Now, that was all version number one of the statement of Rav. We are going to have now a second version of the statement of Rav. Iga d'Amri, Amar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Amar Rav, Ein Borganin u'Pasi Beros, L'Babava v'lo b'chutz l'aretz. So, Borganin and Pasi Beros cannot be employed neither in Bavel nor in Chutz Aretz. The difference between the first version and the second version is very clear. Here in the second version, we are not limiting it to one, meaning it's not Borganin can't be used in Bavel and Pasi Beros cannot be used in Chutz Aretz, but rather they're both going to be limited, meaning neither Borganin nor Pasi Beros can be used neither in Bavel nor in Chutz Aretz. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Now, as far as the Borganin and Bavels, we already explained, because they're flash floods. They're going to wash the huts away, and so therefore they do not have halachic status. They are so temporary. And now, as far as Chutz Aretz is concerned, we also can't count on the Borganin, but for a different reason. There are no flash floods outside of Bavel, but what you have are a lot of thieves. A lot of thieves that are just simply going to steal the huts. And so therefore, you can't count on the huts. You don't even know if they're going to be there the next day. So that's why they're no good neither in Bavel, because of flash floods, nor in Chutz Aretz, because of the thieves. Pasi Beiroz, Bavel, lo d'shchichei maye. Now, as far as the Pasi Beiroz is concerned, so in Bavel, you can't use the Pasi Beiroz, because you don't need the Pasi Beiroz. Meaning in Bavel, there are plenty of water sources. And so therefore, the only reason why the Pasi Beiroz heter was given in order to get water, and in Bavel, it's just simply unnecessary. And b'chutz aretz nami lo d'lo shchicha misifta. Now, in the rest of Chutz Aretz, you don't have the yeshivas, meaning you don't have a good enough reason to set up the Pasi Beiroz, because Pasi Beiroz is limited only to Aliyah L'Regel or traveling to go to yeshiva. Amle Rav Chista lemare bereid Rav Huna bereid Rav Yirmiyahu ba'aba. Amre asisu mibanos l'beikanisha de Daniel. They say, okay, people are talking, and they say that you are going from Barnasha, the place, the name of location, to Kenishta de Daniel, the shul in which Daniel davens. Now, Daniel was a Navi living hundreds of years earlier, but his shul, even in the time of the Amoraim, was still extant. And the rumor was is that he was traveling. And how what kind of distance are we talking about? Havitase parse. It's a distance of three parsa. Okay, that is much more than Tchum Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos is only 2,000 amos. So we're talking about a significant distance more than 2,000 amos. A parsa is 4 amos. And so that's 4 times 3, so that's 12 amos that we're talking about. So, Amai Samchisu, what allows you to travel and that distance when you simply don't have you are not allowed to go beyond 2,000 amos. So Borganin. So I think what you think now is that you're relying on some sort of extension. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Now it said over in the name of your grandfather, in the name of Rav, that the status of Borganin simply don't apply in Bavel because of the flash floods. So what is giving you that reliance that you can go and travel that distance? You are now going beyond Chum Shabbos, which is an Isser. Nafek v'ach v'lehanu masvasa. So, what he showed Rav Chista is that there were these masvata. Demavlam b'shivan amma v'shirayim that are 70 and two-thirds amma within the city. And then you just keep having another one and another one, extending the limits. So that means to say that he's not violating Tchum because there are extenders. These extenders are what's called masvata. What are they? Rashi explains. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Ayarus charevos v'nisharu sham mechitzos min abatim. There were old cities. Admittedly, these cities were destroyed, but there were still some remnants of houses remaining. V'aminan hasam beperek ketzah ma'abrin. And once again, quoting from the fifth parak of Erevin, nefesh shelo nifritza dahainu matzevas kever mitaberes im ha'ir. So you don't need residential houses, even if you have structures of houses. So that is going to be extenders of the Tchum. So over here, even though you're right, there are no Borganin. There's no construct of Borganin in Bavel. But what you do have is that you have basically ruined houses that are situated in a way which they can serve as extenders. And you have this, and by the way, you have to say that there are a lot of them, because the distance being traveled in total is 12,000 mil. Tchum is only 2,000 mil. So, okay. In other words, I guess the situation was is that you had so many extenders extending the limits so that you could make this travel. Amar Rav Chisda Darish Mari Bar Mar. My Dechziv. We are now going to go, basically for the remainder of today's daf, into the world of Agadata. We quoted Mari already once, just moments earlier, and so the Gemara now is going to be quoting him again, also b'shem Rav Chisda. So Amar Rav Chisda Darish Mari Bar Mar My Dechziv, the Pasuk says, L'chol Tichla Re'isi Kates Rachla Mitzvasecha Ma'od. So in terms of the amount of Torah, and specifically Torah Shabbat Peh, that's Rashi. I'll show you the Rashi in just a moment. So the amount of Torah, so Re'isi Kates, there is a limit to it. Now that's rather remarkable. We generally assume that as far as Torah Shabbat Peh is concerned, there is no limit. But the Gemara says that there's a limit. And it's Ma'od. In other words, it's really big, but there's a limit. So Dav is Amru Dav Velo Pirshu. Amru Iyavelo Pirshu, Amru Yecheskel Lo Pirshu, Ashaba Zecharya Ben Ido U Pirsha. Now, in terms of what the limits of Torah Shabbat Peh is, so there are Nevi'im who said it but really didn't define it, and it's only when we get to Zecharya Ben Ido, so he said it and he defined it. Amru Davelo Pirshu. Now, as far as David is concerned, so we just quote the Pasuk, we're going to quote again, Dechsiv, Lechol Teklari Isi Kates, Rechva Mitzvasech Ma'od. So that I know that there's a limit. It's really big. He doesn't give us what the limits are. Amr Eiv Lo Pirshu. Now Eiv does not is unable to give its limits. The pasuk says Dechsev. The pasuk in Eiv says Aruka Me Eretz Mida Urechava Mine Yam. So it's larger than landmass. It's larger than the seas. Okay, it's really big. So again, something that has limits, but he's not able to express what those limits are. Amr Yecheskel Lo Pirshu. Now, as far as Yecheskel is concerned, also a description, but with no set limits. So the pasuk in Yecheskel also is describing a vision of something that was written down and various emotions that are evoked. Right, kinim is kina. That's the that's like kinos that we say in Tisha B'Av. Hege and hay. So those are also different types of expressions. Hege is more like joy. And the last, vahi, so that also is a form of lamentations. So the Gemara in the beginning of Megillah, every time it says the words vahi, it's Lashon Peronios. Anyway, the Gemara over here is just going to sit on this pasuk in Yecheskel for just another moment. So kinim zupranisim shal tzadikim b'olam hazeh. So as far as the kinnas are concerned that I mentioned this pasuk in Yecheskel, that's going to be the suffering and the punishment of tzaddikim in this world. And v'cheinu omer, the pasuk says, kinahu v'konaneha. And hege is the matan scharin shel tzaddikim la'silavo. And the joy is going to be the schar that the tzaddikim are going to be receiving in the world to come. V'cheinu omer, alei higayon b'chinor. And vahi, and the third expression, the third emotion, so zuhi pranasam shavasham lasilavo. That is the description of the suffering and the punishment that's going to be given to the Rishayim in the world to come. Vecheinu omer hove al hove tavo. Okay, so good. So we just end the pasuk for just a little bit more, just to explain the various emotions in the pasuk. So, but what we're seeing over here is that when it comes to Torah Shabbat Peh, so there is a limit to it. A rather remarkable statement of the Gemara over here. But meanwhile, we just went through three different Nevi'im, and they were unable to articulate what exactly the limits are of Torah Shabbat Peh. Until we get to Zechariah. Achabah Zechariah ben Ido Upirsho. Dichsiv. And so obviously we're now going to be quoting a pasuk from, correct, Zechariah. And that is, Vayomer Elai Ma'ata Ro'eh, Vayomer Ani Ro'eh, Megillah Afa. So I saw a Megillah, it was a scroll, and it was afa, it was folded over. And as far as its fold was concerned, arka esrim ba'ama v'rechva esrim ba'ama. So it's 20 amas by 10 amas. Now, a couple things over here. Rashi writes, v'yifrosu sa lefanai, so Megillah's Torah Shabbat Peh her also. So this is a scroll that has on it Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay, so clearly over here, Rashi is clear that the entire discussion of the Gemara is Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, of course, that makes a lot of sense because We know what the limits of Tarshe B'Chsav is. Tarshe B'Chsav, obviously, is the Chamishi Chumshei Torah. And there's not going to be any challenge in describing what its limits are, meaning we know what it is to the Pasuk, to the word, to the letter. We know exactly how much Tarshe Baal Peh is. A little over 300,000 letters. But anyway, so we know what the limits are. So when the Gemara is struggling to know what the limits are of another document, the document would be Tarshe Baal Peh. That's point number one. Point number two is that we're describing an parchment of 20 by 10. And 20 by 10 Amos. Whose Amos are we talking about? So here, another really interesting Rashi. Rashi says, Esrim ba'ama, Amos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Amos being described over here are the Amos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here is what we're saying. Here's what Rashi's saying. Meaning to say that although we're going to give a number, and we're going to quantify Tarshe Baal Peh, it's not really going to help us. Meaning that the Gemara over here is Agadata, which means that the Gemara is to be understood on a level. On a level that I am not capable of communicating. In other words, we are going to give a number over here, but the number over here is not going to be measurable by you and I. Right? The Amos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that is a stira minei ubei. That is a contradiction. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limitless. There are no linear measurements that could describe what an Am of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Nevertheless, it has with it in this idea that there is a quantity, there is an idea that I myself am not capable of expressing or articulating, but nevertheless, the numbers over here are significant, and it's just, you just need a better magid shir in terms of explaining what these numbers actually mean and represent. But anyway, okay, there are the Zechariah in his vision is obviously seeing this, right? So we are just now going to be working with the numbers that are given to us. So Arba Esrim, Megillah Afa, Arka Esrim Bama, Verechva Esabama. Sorry, I read that already. 20 by 10. Vichi Pashtale, now it's folded over. So now you're going to open it up. So Vichi Pashtale, Havile Esrim Besrim. So when you open it up, now it's going to be 20 by 20. Uksiv, now we're going to go back to the Psukim. And the Pasuk says, Vihi Ksuva Panim Vachor. It's written both on both sides, meaning after you open it up, it's still now going to have print on the two sides. So Vihi Kalaftala, so now, if you can, basically peel off each of the sides and put it side by side, so Kama Havilahu, Arba'in Be'esrin, so now it's going to be 40 by 20. Uksiv, Mimadad Bishalom Mayim, Vishamayim Bezeres Tikain. Now, as far as measuring the earth, so how much of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Amos is going to take to measure the earth? Now, again, we are not limiting and we are not trying to actually give a linear definition. It just happens to be that in terms of communication, so at least we're now going to be able to see the relative nature of the earth to that of Tarshe Baal Peh. So, as far as the earth is concerned, so how much does it take to measure the earth? So all it takes is just simply a zeres. A zeres is 1/4 of a square amma. So now we are able to see the relative nature of the entire area of the earth compared to Tarshe Baal Peh. So nimtza kol ha'am kula echa mishloshim apayim ha'masayim b'tara. So now, as far as the earth is concerned, and by the way, it may not be limited to the earth. In other words, the pasuk says shamayim. Meaning the heavens as well. Whatever. We're just simply saying that relative to the world, just we'll use a simple term like that, relative to the world. So now, Tarshe Baal Peh is 32,000 times greater than that of the world, given the numbers that we are here to work with. And so, basically, Tarshe Baal Peh is excessively large. In terms of the significance of these numbers that were given, okay, there now you have reached my limits. But certainly the idea being communicated over here is that there are some limits to Tarshe Baal Peh. But as far as we're concerned, we're never going to approach those limits. But there is this idea that is being expressed in the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda Darish Mari Bar Mar. And so here we go now with another drasha, my dichsiv. The pasuk says, "V'hine shnei dudai teinim." Now there are two pots of figs, mu'adim lifnei heichal Hashem, and they were right in front of the heichal. So hadud echad teinim tavos ma'od kitenei ha bachrus, and vehadud echad te'inim ra'os ma'or, asher lo te'achlan ha'me'roa. One pot of figs is really good, one pot of figs are really of poor quality, as we're now on the top of the Yamin base. Te'inim ha'tovos elot tzadik and gemuros. Now, this pasuk over here clearly is open for drasha, so the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that we just cited, so the Gemara now is going to darshan. And specifically Rav Chista, and specifically in the name of Mari Bar Mar. So that's the theme of today in terms of this section of the Agarata. So what are the good figs? Tainim atovos, elat tzadikim gemurim. The good figs are referenced to tzadikim. Tainim aros, elat rishayim gemurim. And they're referenced to the rishayim, the bad figs. Veshem atomar, avad sichram ubatel sikuyam. So basically, so if you're a Rasha, you're a bad fig, and you got no hope. So Tamalomer hadudim nasnu reach. They're going to give over an aroma. Elav elu asidim shinu reach. They're both going to give off fragrance. So there is, and we just made this point a couple days ago. Even though we're learning Erevin and difficult Gemaras, but in terms of Agadata, difficult Agadatas as well. But as far as Agadata is concerned, we just saw this a couple days ago in the idea that even when it comes to Rishayim. Rishayim of Am Yisrael, so they'll spend some time in Gehenim, but then they're taken straight up to Gan Eden. So they are going to get a chelik in Olam Haba, and they are going to have a reach. Darash Rav Amai Dichsiv. Now we're going to give more agata, more drushas, and now we're transitioning over to Rava. We're staying on the same pasuk, but now a new Baal Memra, Rava. Amai Dichsiv, the pasuk says, Hadu Daim Nasnu Reach. So these dudaim are going to give off an aroma. So Ela Bachur Yisrael Shalotam Utam Chait. This is a reference to young men who have not sinned, meaning despite the fact that they're young and they're strong and they have vigor, but nevertheless they were able to harness their Yetzahara. The Apsachenu Kol Migadim. Just one correction. I said we're staying on the same pasuk. That was incorrect. I apologize. We're moving to Psukim and Shir Shirim. So over here, right, I see where I made the mistake. Anyway, the pots that were described in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu also refer to du da'e, but over there it's with reference to pots. Over here, when we're saying du da'im, so they're a type of flower that gives off a particular aroma. Okay, anyway, psukim shir shirim. So the pasuk says, "Adudim nasnu reach." I'm just going to go back. Elo b'chur Yisrael shalotam utam chait. So these are referring to young men who didn't sin. The apsachenu kol megadim, and literally the pasuk in Shir Hashirim is talking about the entrances where there are fruits, very sweet fruits. Elo b'nos Yisrael shemigidus pischem lebaalim. But the Gemara here darshins the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, and that's with reference to the young Jewish women, married Jewish women, who are megidus pischem lebaalim. They tell their husbands that they're a nida. Lashanachir, or another way to say, she'ogdos pischem labaalehem, they basically are closing their openings to their husbands, meaning that they don't allow their husbands to be there with them when they're in nida. Now, it's interesting because the pasuk is making this out like this is high praise. It's not high praise, meaning it's basic halacha. When the wife is in nida, the husband can't be with the wife. So it's interesting how Rav is darshing the pasukim. Look at these Jewish women. Look how impressive they are. Meaning, it is impressive to follow halacha. But it's not something that you give special shevach for. Okay, so, but as a simple pshat, what you could offer over here is that, yeah, it is halacha, but at the same time, also there's a strong yetzahara. And with the strong yetzahara, so you need both parties of the marriage to be committed, and it could be that over here, even though it is very basic halacha, but nevertheless, the commitment to the halacha specifically in this area is something that also should be receiving high praise. Anyway, continuing in the Pesukim. Chadashim gam yishanim dodit safanti lach. So new ones, old ones. So my beloved. So Amar Knesset Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And over here, as the Gemara does when quoting Pesukim from Shir Hashirim, understanding it as a mashal to the relationship between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is now what the Dodi says to its partner, meaning the Jewish people are now saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Sha'olam, harbe gzeres gezarti alatzmi. You know that we made many gzeres for ourselves. Yosemi mashi gezarti alai v'kiyam tim. And even though you gave us a certain amount of set laws, we actually added to the laws, otherwise known as gzeres derabanan. And not only that, but we kept the gzeres derabanan. So we are telling the Kadosh Baruch Hu that we are so committed to you that not only are we following the rules that you gave us, we actually added to those rules and we're following those rules as well. Amalei Rav Chista Lumi, the Rabbanan Davi Kamasad, Agarata Kamei. Rav Chista says to a particular Rav who was organizing the Agarata. Mishmi Allah, Chadashim Gam Yishanim Mahu. That pasuk that we just quoted in Shir Shirim. Chadashim Gam Yishanim. Have you heard Pshan that? Amalei, Elu Mitzvahs Kalas Ve'Elu Mitzvahs Chamuras. He says, sure. One is a reference to the lighter mitzvahs, and the other one is to the more demanding mitzvahs. So Amar Lei, so Rav Chista hears this, and Rav Chista says, V'chi Torah pa'amim, pa'amim nidnu? What does that mean? It's hard to imagine. If we're talking about mitzvahs of the Torah, there are older ones, there are newer ones, they were all given at the same time. Ma'amad Har Sinai is when the mitzvahs were presented to us. The Torah itself was presented to us at a later point in time. But in terms of the mitzvahs were concerned, so they were presented all at Har Sinai. Right? The Rambam, we've quoted this Rambam a number of times, in his Pirush Mishnayos, in the seventh parak of Chulin. So the Rambam over there writes that the fact that we are obligated in all mitzvahs of the Torah, that's because of Ma'amad Har Sinai. The fact that mitzvahs may be presented earlier in the Chumash, by Avram Avinu, by Yaakov when it comes to Gedan Asher, that's all true. But as far as mitzvahs are concerned, they're all because they were presented at Ma'amad Har Sinai. They were given all at the same time. So it's not, you can't say that the pasuk in Shir HaShirim describing old mitzvahs, new mitzvahs, there's no such thing. All the mitzvahs were presented at the same time. So Ella halala midivrei Torah, v'halala midivrei sofrim. So the difference between new and old, says Rav Chista, has to be that the old ones are referring to the mitzvahs of Torah that were given at Har Sinai. The new ones are the gzeros and the tekanos of the chachamim that came historically later. That's the difference between new and old. Darash Rava, Rava Darshan's my dechsev, the pasuk. V'yoser mehema b'nei ha-zahir asos sfarim harbei. Pasuk in Koheles, and the Gemara now darshins. B'nei zahir b'divrei sofrim yoser b'divrei Torah. So, we have to be, I'm sorry, b'nei he zahir b'divrei sofrim yoser b'divrei Torah. We have to be more careful when it comes to the dinei derabanan rather than, more than, I'm sorry, not rather, more than the divrei Torah. Shedivrei Torah yesh bahem asav lo saseh. Because when it comes to divrei Torah, so there are positive, there are negatives, and if one were to violate them, so we know exactly what the person's liable for. Meaning, it's very clear cut what exactly the punishments are, and presumably once you get the punishment, so then you're going to be expunged of any consequence. However, when it comes to divrei sofrim, when it comes to dinei derabanan kol overal divrei Torah sofrim chayv misa. By violating divrei derabanan, so one is going to be subject to the death penalty, meaning not bidei adam but bidei shamayim. And Shema Tomar, so im yesh bahem mamish mimnei ma lo nichtavu. So why were they written down? So amakra asos svarim harbe ein kates. So there's no limits, meaning that in terms of if this were to be written down, so then there would be no limit, and we simply wouldn't have enough in order to write it down. I know it seems to go against a little bit against what we said earlier in terms of the limits of Torah Sheva'al Peh, and presumably Torah Sheva'al Peh not only includes the Halacha Moshe Mesinai and the Yugim Amidos, but Torah Sheva'al Peh also includes Gzeros and Tekanos. In fact, the Rambam writes that very clearly in his introduction to Perashat Mishnayos. We went over this before. The Rambam writes in Perashat Mishnayos that there are five sections of Torah Sheva'al Peh, and of those five sections, two of them are the Gzeros and the Tekanos of the Chachamim. So a little bit our Gemara over here seems to be going against what we learned earlier, because earlier we said that there were limits to Torah Sheva'al Peh, admittedly well beyond our scope, and over here we're saying that there are no limits. Okay, but I'm not particularly sure if this is a question I got to tell. But anyway, so and on top of that, continuing now in the Pasuk Koheles, V'lagar be'yigar basar, and basically what it's going to do is. It's going to wear you down. And what does that mean? So Amar Papa Bereid Rav Acha Bar Adam Mishmeid Rav Acha Bar Ula Malam Shekol HaMalig Al Divrei Chachamim Nidon B'Tzor Rosachas. It's going to wear down the person who is Lohag, which the Gemara understands is synonymous with the word Malig. If you make fun of Divrei Chachamim, so then you're going to be set and designed for punishment. And the Gemara over here, it's really, right? The Gemara speaks in really graphic terms in terms of the punishment for the person who's going to be ridiculing Divrei Chachamim. And he's going to be boiled in Tzor Rosachas. And Maskev LaRava Miksev LaAg. Now, Rava may not be opposed to the idea, but it's not good pshat in the Pasuk. Meaning the Pasuk is Lahag with a hay, and not with an ayin. So Rava says he's going to give rather a different pshat. Lahaksiv ela kol ha-hoge bahen toim tam basar. So anyone who is contemplating, thinking about it, meaning studying Torah and applying a lot of thought to it, so he's toim tam basar, so he is going to taste the taste of meat. Meaning that a person who really dedicates himself to the study of Torah, it's going to be fresh every single day, he's really going to enjoy it. That's a radically different way to explain the pasuk than that of the Malig, but nevertheless, it fits in better with the Lamed He Gimel, not the Lamed Ein Gimel. Tana Rabbanan. We're continuing in the Gemara Maisa Rabbi Akiva, the following episode, regarding Rabbi Akiva Shaya Chavush Beveis Asurim. He was in a prison. Vahaya Rabbi Yoshua Hagarsi Misharso. And Rabbi Yeshua was serving him. And b'chol yom yom hayu machnisim lo mayim b'midah. He would give him a certain measure of water every single day, yom echad. Now one day, masu shomer beis ha'asurim. So he bumped into the guard. Amar lo, and the guard said to him, hayom meimech merubim. That's a lot of water you're bringing to Rabbi Akiva. Shem alachzor beis ha'asurim atatzarech. Maybe he's going to be choter. Right? Hababa machteris. He's looking for the water to basically soften the earth. So he can dig an escape route to get out of prison. So shafa chetzim v'nasan lo chetzion. So what the guard did is he spilled out half of it. And now Rabbi Yeshua is coming in with water to Rabbi Akiva, but only half the amount that he normally comes in with. Kishaba eats the Rabbi Akiva amar lo. So he goes to Rabbi Akiva now with only half the water, and Rabbi Akiva says to him the following Yeshua, Ein ata yodea shazaken ani. So Rabbi Akiva says, you know I'm very old. I'm depending on you. My life is dependent upon you. So sach lo kol osa ma'ora. Now Rabbi Yeshua explains, look, I'm sorry, I know I normally bring a certain amount of water, but here's what happened today. And he told him over the whole story. Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva says, tainli mayim. Okay, so give me whatever water you have. She'atol yadi. So now what I'm going to be able to do is I'm going to wash my hands so that I can eat bread. So amar lo, Rabbi Yeshua says to him, lishtos ein megin. There's not going to be enough for both. Meaning you can't wash your hands and drink from the water. There's simply not enough water for both. So, lito yadecha magin. Is there going to be enough to do netilas yadayim? So, amar lo ma'esa. So, Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, but what do you expect me to do? Shechayavin aleihem misa. Amus misa atzmi. Velo ever al da'as chaverai. Washing your hands before bread is a din d'rabbanan. He says, look, I'm not ready to violate Dine Durabanan. My colleagues are telling me that I have to wash my hands. That's a Din Durabanan. And I got to treat that with the utmost respect, even if it means, and I know, I already know the question, but even if it means that at the expense of my own life, I have to violate Dine Durabanan. Now, everyone here is wondering, myself included, you're not allowed to give up your life. You're not allowed to give up your life for Dine Torah outside of limited circumstances. Gimel Chamuros, Shasa Shmad, Farhesia. So yes, there are circumstances where you're supposed to give up your life. But for a Din D'Rabban, you're not supposed to give up your life. What you could suggest over here is that this is a Shasa Shmad, and that's why he was ready to give up his life. Anyway, he's not going to be violating Din D'Rabban. He is going to be using the water in order to wash his hands, even at the expense of not being able to drink the water. Amru, they said, Lotam Klum Ad Shevi L'Mayim. He would not eat until they brought him water. And he was able to wash his hands. When the Chachamim heard this, Amru. So now they were duly impressed with Rabbi Kiva's commitment to not only Dine Daraisa, but Dine Darabban as well. And they said, Ma b'ziknosa kach. Now this is the way he's behaving when he's older. Imagine when he was younger. Now it's an interesting comment by the Gemara, because we also happen to know that when Rabbi Kiva was much younger, so he wasn't necessarily that committed. But nevertheless, younger over here means relative to where he's at right now. Right? Right now, he's towards the end of his life, right? Where we know we have other traditions that Rabbi Akiva lived a long life, 120 years. So relative to where he's at right now, in his quote-unquote younger years, so how much more he would have been committed when he was even stronger. Now over here, he's confined, he's in a prison. Imagine where he was out of prison. Imagine how committed he was to Divrei Chachamim. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, B'shah Shetikin, Shlomo Eruvin, and Tilas Yadayim. Shlomo HaMelech was the Mesakin. He was the one who instituted Eruvin. Eruvin over here, specifically, Eruve Chatzeros, and Tilas Yadayim. These are Takanas that go all the way back to Shlomo HaMelech. Meaning to say that these are old Takanas. Yatza Baskova Amra B'niim, Chacham Libecha, Yismach Li B'Gamani. Right? If you're wise, so I'm also joyful as well, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'omer chacham b'mini v'samach libi v'ashiva chorpi davar. And another pasuk describing the significance of the takanas that were made, and that is that my son is wise and he makes me happy. So Akash Baruch Hu clearly is extraordinarily pleased with the takanas that were made by the Chachamim, and we just experienced two of the older takanas, older institutions that were made, notably the washing of the hands and Erech Hatzeres that were set up by Shlomo HaMelech. Darash Rava Maidichsev, the pasuk says, L'chadu din etzei asadeh, nagilam bakfarim. So let's go out to the field, and, poor reading on my part, nalina bakfarim. And we're going to, and we're going to stay in the hotels, in the small towns. Nashkim alakramim nira im parcha gefen, pitach asmadar, heinatsur imonim, sham etain estodi lach. And so, over here, more psukim from Shir HaShirim, and the back and forth between the two lovebirds, if you will. And now the Gemara breaks up the pasuk and explains each section. Lechad odin neitzei asadeh, let's go out to the field. Amar k'nasis yisrael of nekosh baruch hu, ribono shel olam, al tadineni ki yoshvei kerachim. Don't judge me like the people in the city. Sheish b'hem gezov ha'arayos v'shvu shav v'shvu shaker. So they're in the city. They're involved in and make poor decisions. A lot of stealing, immorality. They swear falsely. They make shvuas with nothing to them. And neitzei hasadeh ba'overecha tamid chachamim she'oskim b'torah mitoch hadchak. And I'm going to show you tamid chachamim who are learning Torah despite the fact that they don't have any means. Na'lina b'kfarim, and we're going to lodge. So al tikrei b'kfarim ela b'kofrim. And we're talking here about Kofrim. Ba'averecha osam shehishpat alem tova. And the vein kafir bacha. And I'm going to show you people who have money and have means. And meanwhile, they're still Kofrim. They still deny you. And nashkim alakramim. And we're going to go out to the vineyard. So elu bate kinesis bate midrashos. So that's a reference to shuls and places of yeshiva. Nira im parchana gefen. And let's see now if there was a flowering. Ela bale mikra. That's a reference to people learning chumash. And pitach hasmadar. So ela bale mishnah. People learning mishnah. Hey natzar imonim. As you would guess, ela bale gemara. Sham etain es dodilach. And there is where there's going to be a commitment of love one to the other. Erecha kvodi v'godli shevach banai v'nosai. And I'm going to praise my sons and my daughters. Okay, this is a good place to stop, and we will continue tomorrow. A little more Agadot are coming up. In the meantime, however, we get to review now this morning's daf. We started off with the significant limitations regarding the Heter Pasei Beiros. So the bracketed area, which is the Rishus Yachid, is only under the circumstances of Ole Regalim. That is where we started our daf off today. And then in terms of who could drink from the water once the brackets are set up, so primarily animals can drink from it. Only animals can drink from it. But as far as people are concerned, so they're expected to go down into the well. And then we saw this morning the Brisa continue. And we saw the full version of the Brisa. The Brisa explains that the only time that one can go down into the well is when that's possible. If it's not possible, the well is too wide and you really can't brace yourself. So then even people can enjoy the water under those circumstances. Continuing in our review, we quoted the entire Brisa, including that the last lines of the Brisa, which were difficult, in that you're not allowed to water your animal, but when holding the kli, you have to pour it into the trough. That goes against what we said yesterday, where you're allowed to hold the kli. But again, we reviewed Abaye's explanation of the Brisa. The Brisa was talking about a very specific and unusual circumstance. That's where you can't hold the kli, but under normal circumstances, sure, you're allowed to hold the kli when watering your animals. Then we saw the statement of Rav, two versions of the statement of Rav, that Borgenin do not apply in Bavel. Pasei Beiros do not apply in Chutz Aretz. Borgenin don't apply in Bavel. That was the extender of the Tchum, because in Bavel you have the flash floods, and the Borgenin are just simply not going to last. The Pasei Beiros institution does not apply in Chutz Aretz because you don't have yeshivas. And as we went over this morning, Rashi tells us that if you are traveling to study in yeshiva, so then you could use the Pasei Beiros enclosure. And that means to say that the Ole Regalim from Rashi's perspective is an example, and other such examples can be done as well. And so if you're traveling to study in yeshiva, you can also use the Pasuk Beiros. I ask the question without knowing the answer. What are other examples? We're not going to see it, meaning those are the only two examples that are given to us in the Gemara. So is it extendable, the Heter of Pasuk Beiros? I don't know. Anyway, we continue. That was version number one. And version number two, Borgen and Pasuk Beiros cannot be used neither in Bavel nor in Chutz Aretz as well. And that's a little bit different than version number one. Continuing in terms of our review, there was a traveler who went from the town of Barnash to the shul that Daniel set up. That was three parcels away, 12,000 mil away, well beyond Tchum, and he walked out on Shabbos. So how could he do that? And obviously Borgenin is not going to work because Borgenin does not work in Buffalo, as we just established. So the answer is that there were still remnants of houses that served as extenders of Tchum. And then from that point going forward, that's already, we're up to the middle of Chafal Lamed Aleph. So from this point going forward, it was all Agadata. First of all, the limits of Torah Shabbat Peh. Really difficult Agadata, difficult to understand, in terms of Torah Shabbat Peh actually has a set limit. What that set limit is, so a number of Nevi'im addressed it but did not give the limits. Zechariah ben Ido was somebody who actually gave limits to Torah Shabbat Peh and described it as being 400 by 200 Amma in total. After the scroll was folded open and after you peeled it, so now you saw front, back, side by side, so it was a total of, 40 by 20. Even as I'm expressing the limits, I don't understand. At least let me report it accurately. It's 40 by 20. So 40 by 20 Amos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, again, that doesn't help us, but we do know, however, that the world is measured with a quarter of one of those Amos. So now you take the total number that's given to us of the Torah Shabbat Peh expressed, and now it comes out that the relationship is 1 to 32,000 in terms of the world compared to Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh being significantly larger. Okay. With that stated, as I already expressed, very difficult to understand exactly what is meant by that, what we're supposed to take away from that, other than the fact that Torah Shabbat Peh is expansive well beyond whatever we're capable of understanding, but outside of that, not sure what the takeaway point is. Okay, and then going forward, a lot more Agarata that was described in the course of the Amud Beis. Mostly Psukim from Shir HaShirim, in terms of the various Psukim in Shir HaShirim, which is to be understood as an analogy, not to be understood literally, the relationship between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and specifically how we, the Jewish people, have taken on Gzeros, in addition to the Torah that was given to us. We not only take on those Gzeros, we fulfill those Gzeros. Takanas that were made by Shlomo HaMelech included a Ruve Chatzeros and a Tilas Yadayim before eating bread. And so those are just examples of Gzeros that we take on. Kadosh Baruch Hu is so pleased in terms of our commitment that we not only are committed to the Torah, but we listen to the Chachamim as well. And then the Gemara spent a lot of time today going over an episode with Rabbi Akiva where he was in jail and for various reasons, the water that was given to him was significantly less than what he normally is given water for. And instead of drinking the water and preserving his life, he rather used the water for the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. And he said to Rabbi Yoshua, look, I can't not. In other words, there's a mitzvah de Rabbanan to wash before eating. I have to wash before eating. And even though it was at the expense of his life, and I suggested that it was a Shas HaShmad, the Gemara did not make that point clear. But it was a Shas HaShmad, and that is what... And that is what made it so dear to him to follow the mitzvah de Rabbanan of washing hands. And then some more Pesukim Shir HaShirim that we darshan at the end of today's daf.